This is Songwriter's Room, and I'm your host, Tomoko. Today's guest is Michael Peterson. In his 30-year career, Michael Peterson has had the good fortune to be a million-selling, Grammy-nominated country music star whose songs have hit number one 13 times, including the number one hit From Here to Eternity and the iconic Drink, Swear, Steal, and Lie. Michael is also a songwriter who has had his compositions recorded by Hall of Famers and Grammy winners in country, rock, pop, gospel, and Latin, such as Travis Tritt, Timothy Schmidt of the Eagles, Denise Williams, The Imperials, and Bacillus. Michael is also a contributing author of 8 books, including Chicken Soup for the Country Soul, which is one of the New York Times number one best-selling series. Michael has received numerous distinguished public service awards, including the prestigious USO Spirit of Hope Medal, following his 11 tours and over 150 performances for servicemen and women deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, and South Korea. Now please enjoy his mini performance of his Billboard number one hit song, From Here to Eternity.
From here to eternity, I'm asking you to share your life with me. Now and forever, I'll guarantee that I'll always stay by your side. I promise my love to you. I'm willing and able and ready. Whatever you need, I am here for you, and I'll always be from here to eternity. A little bit of that.
I love that song. It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
This is my first interview with a country singer. It's a privilege to have him today. So can I get a woo-hoo? So, ladies and gents, welcome Mr. Michael Peterson.
Yay. Hi, Tomoko.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
It's just a beautiful song, and it could be any other genre, especially R&B, I thought. You know, I can hear Luther Vandross singing it.
Oh, yeah. What a great voice he has. And it would be so fun to hear it with a different feel to it.
So your song has every element for a classic hit song, like simple and powerful lyrics, melody. The chorus is very catchy, not to mention your sweet voice and handsome look in the music video. So I would love for you to show us the process of how you wrote it.
Well, thank you for saying all of that. It's a special song, and it's worth noting. You know when you think you have one special. Some songs you write and you say, well, that's nice, but that's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And then some of them you think you have are special, you know?
Right.
So when we wrote this song, we dreamed that what would make it special, if it could be a song that would be used by a person who was proposing, so that the song would speak for them, for all of the men out there that are nervous, or the women who decided they were going to propose, that are nervous and they don't know quite how to say it. What we imagined when we wrote it was that person who was going to pop the question would have the ring in their hand and they would ask the person they were proposing to just listen. And then they would play the song. That was our dream, was like, if this song could help somebody who's proposing to actually pop the question, then that would be a unique song, because we'd never heard a song that became the proposal. There's a lot of wedding songs. There's a lot of anniversary songs. We'd never heard a song that actually popped the question.
That's true.
So we thought if we could write a song that would do that, that would make it special.
When you said and who?
I wrote it with Robert Ellis Orrell.
Okay.
Famous Nashville songwriter and was my record producer for this album with Warner Brothers, as well as the second album with Warners. And one of my favorite co-writers and friends to this day.
Okay.
But that was our dream. That was what we thought would make it special. But then you write the song And then, you know, you don't know if anything's going to happen with it. You write a lot of songs and some of them become hits if you're fortunate, and most don't. So for me, the feeling that I have isn't so much one to brag. The feeling I have is more that I'm just very grateful. I just really am grateful that people by the thousands, tens of thousands, really use this song in a meaningful way in their lives, and it would help them in a way that was memorable for them. Yeah. So if I had to break down how we wrote From Here to Eternity, it really started with the title. Mm-hmm. I was in a video store back when, you know, Blockbuster was around, and I saw a movie called From Here to Eternity, the title of a movie called From Here to Eternity. It was a movie that starred Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, huh, I like that as a song title. Of course, I didn't know, because I'd never seen the movie, that they had a title in a song in the movie called From Here to Eternity. I didn't know that, but it stuck in my mind. So, you know, fast forward about 4 years, and I was in a songwriting session with Robert Ellis Orrell, my co-writer on the song. And he said, what do you want to write about? And I said, hey, could we maybe try to write a song that pops the question, that helps the person that wants to propose to be able to pop the question? And if we could do that, we'd have a really unique song. So that's how we started. We had the title first. We kind of wrote towards the title. And, you know, we really thought probably the lyric first, I guess, if you think about it, because we knew what we wanted to say and we knew who we wanted to help. We wanted to help somebody who was trying to pop the question. So we made the voice of the singer be the voice of the person that's going to be proposing. So you just imagine, like the first verse says, I did everything I could to get you here tonight without telling you why. So you set the stage.
Yes.
Now, if you only would, please hold out your hand and close your eyes. So now he's asking her to do something, right?
That first part, set the stage and it just.
Yeah. So we're trying to set up that hook. I'm dying to ask you one burning question. Will you be mine from here to eternity? Right. So it's, you know, it's the setup and it's the asking of the question. It's the popping of the question. And then the suspense of will she say yes or will she say no? That's the basic architecture of what makes that idea work. You know, so many people are going to get married and they want to ask that question. And now they have a song that can help them to say what it is that they may not know quite how to say, or they're too nervous to ask.
Fantastic. So your story is in the book Chicken Soup for the Souls. I'm a fan of the author Jeff Canfield. How did it come about?
Late 90s, 98, 99, they did a Chicken Soup for the Country Soul. So they asked a variety of country songwriters and artists. The song I submitted is a song called Small Things with Great Love. Mm-hmm. And it was based on a true story about something that happened to me up in Toronto, Ontario. And they liked the story, they liked the song, and so that's how I ended up in the book.
I'm gonna check it out.
No, I think you'd enjoy it. It's a great story, actually. It's a story about me being on a way to a TV interview, and it was snowing like crazy. I was in downtown Toronto. I was actually on the way home the day before. I was stopped at a traffic light, and I saw something I'd never seen before. I saw a man sleeping on the street in the snow, rolled up in a cardboard blanket, and he didn't have any shoes on. And I was really heartbroken by this. I just thought that was terrible. But then the light turned green and I went back to my hotel. You know, you see a lot of hurtful things in the world and you can't do anything about many of them. So the next day I was going back to the TV studio. And as I was waiting in the green room at the studio, ready to go on to be interviewed, the janitor came in the back door of the TV studio on his bike. And he was covered with snow. And I said to him, man, if you had to ride your bike in the snow? He said, yeah. He said, I was feeling kind of sorry for myself until I saw this guy sleeping on the street wrapped up in a cardboard blanket that didn't have any shoes.
Wow.
And I said, where was that? And he named the intersection. It was Yonge Street and Bloor, downtown Toronto. And I said, oh, I saw that guy yesterday. He said, yeah. He said, I felt so bad for him. I stopped my bike and I pulled over to where there was a store and I bought him some shoes and some socks. And right at that moment, they called me to the set as I was just hearing the story of this janitor who actually did something about it. Like, he didn't just think about it. He did something about it. And as they called me to the side of the set, the person before me was telling a story about Mother Teresa. And they were asking Mother Teresa questions. And one of the things she said in her answers was, she said that none of us can do anything great on our own, but all of us can do small things with a great amount of love.
Yes.
And so that story that I had just heard and the quote that I heard from Mother Teresa came together in my mind at that moment and became this song called Small Things with Great Love. And the chorus basically says, we can do no great thing alone. We can, but we all can do small things with great love. The truth is, we're helpless without heaven above, giving us strength to do small things with great love. And so that was a story that I wrote this story out. It's in the book. And if you get the book, I think there's a CD that's attached to it so you can hear the song as well.
That's beautiful.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. So a lot of live performers were hit because of this pandemic, and you used to play a lot of gigs. Yeah. What's new for Michael Peterson?
Well, as the pandemic came our way, all performers, I think, are wondering, like, what's going to happen next and what can I do? It is a force in the world that I can't change. I can't make it go away. And I can't do a lot except be patient and try to stay productive.
Yeah.
So over the last year, I have looked for the good and not just the negative. And one of the good pieces is that for the first time in my adult life, I'm home to enjoy my home.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on the road 150 to 180 days a year, your home sometimes is just a place to do the laundry.
Yeah.
And park your car and pay the bills, right? So this is the first time in my adult life. I'm 61, and this is the first time in my adult life since I was probably 23 or 24 when I haven't been on the road. This has been really, really wonderful to be able to be home and enjoy my home. So that's been a real positive. The second thing I did was I started to really focus on my catalog, my songwriting catalog, because I realized I have it in my home, but it's in a lot of different places, on CDs, it's on cassettes, it's, it's in notebooks and journals and mini discs.
Right.
And it's all over my house. If anything ever happened to me, nobody else would be able to make sense of it.
Right.
So this last year I've been, you know, I've thought about that for years, but I never made the time to do it. Now I have the time to do that. So I'm getting all of that organized. It's been a really neat thing. While I'm doing that, I'm finding that, I don't know, I probably have 500 or 600 finished songs in my life that I've finished.
Wow.
But I have thousands, and I'm not exaggerating. There are thousands of ideas that were never finished.
Mm.
Some of them are just a title. Some of them are a piece of a melody. Anyway, so I'm saying all of that not to boast, but I'm saying that to say that as I've been trying to organize these unfinished pieces, some of them have begun to speak to me with ideas of how to finish them. So while I've just been trying to organize things, I found that I've also been finishing some unfinished songs. Because if you look at something you haven't looked at for 15 years, and you suddenly you look at it and you go, oh, I know what to do with that. And so you sit down, you thought you were going to organize a bunch of songs, but all you did was worked on one that day. And it was a 15-year-old song idea, but something I just didn't know what to do with 15 years ago. So the long answer to your short question is, I've been really productive. I've been really creative. I've been cataloging my work, my body of work. And then the last thing that I've been doing professionally is I started a radio show. It happens every Thursday night. It's on a platform called Positive Listening Radio. The show is called Funny You Should Ask, and it's a 1-hour show of classic hits, comedy bits, and little touches of inspiration. So I say this with sincerity. It's the second most relaxing hour of your week, right? So you can really get on there and smile and laugh and feel good. We've been going now for probably 30 weeks. I've been on the air, and we are being listened to in 27 countries. We have about 5,000 listeners a week. And that's been a fun way to stay connected to fans.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then last but not least, I've been doing some podcast interviews and things like this with you. So,
okay. So Michael, so this is going to be the last question. What advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
Focus more completely on the writing and the performing and the recording. Mm-hmm. Time is the one thing that we all have the same amount of in any given day. And there's so many things to be distracted by these days, from our phones, from our computers, from the television. All around us, we're just completely bombarded with distractions. And I just think I could have made better use of my time to create music that matters for people.
Well said. Nothing more to say. Totally agree. Thank you so much for being Songwriter's Room today, Michael. Until we speak again, sayonara.
Thank you, Tomoko. God bless you.
Don't forget to click subscribe and hit the bell to get notified about new videos of Songwriter's Room or my new music or Japanese series. Thank you for watching. Arigato. Sayonara.